Oh, groovy, baby.
Come with me if you want to live.
Step right up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. You found it. Your source, your spot for independent, cool music. Of course, I'm talking about the Radio St. Pete exclusive Indie Circuit. My name's Mao. With me, as sometimes,
Dr. Morbius
from Parts Unknown. Yes, it's always a better show when Dr. Morbius
comes
out of the crypt and spends some time with you boils and ghouls. Boils and ghouls.
I like music. Yeah. I kind of like music.
You know a lot more about music than I do.
Well, older music more so than those young whippersnappers.
Get off my lawn with your beepers and your baggy pants.
And their baggy pant music with the scratchy
hip,
record.
With the hippity hop and you can't spell crap without rap.
God.
That's all wrong and sad. And I don't believe in any of it.
When did rap music actually start? Was it like in the 80s? It might have been the 70s.
Well, you know what, though? That's one of those things where they're like, oh, no. Because there was a group called like Dead Poets or something like that.
Dead Poets, yeah.
That was like, they say, oh, that was rap, but it wasn't called rap at that time or something like that. And then it hit in the 80s. Like when it, like, MTV got a hold of it. Then it had Yo MTV Raps.
Yeah.
Then it became popular, and then all the genres started to meld together, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember like there was some song it might have been the early 80s, maybe late 70s called Rapper's Delight by the Sugarland Gang, and it was like it was a big hit. Now, that might have been the first time or whatever, but I've heard anything like that. But it's funny because I've heard records in the past where people do that kind of like talking thing or whatever, spoken word to like a beat or whatever. Mm. So it's not anything new, but I guess it probably hit in the 80s.
Because some of that stuff was so iconic, you know, Straight Outta Compton from N.W.A.
Yeah, The Message by Grandmaster Flash. And
yeah,
all that
like
stuff.
There's some that were in Flava Flav, of course. There was some that were so like comic, like superheroes.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah,
that they just blew up and it became like huge, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once it started like kind of getting integrated in a lot of other genre, you know, Aerosmith famously with Run DMC for
Walk This Way.
And then a lot of new metal started using. They all have a
Linkin Park,
a scratcher,
that,
or a guy that you know does that. You know, stuff.
Limp Bizkit. You know,
yikes!
All that, and all them.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's kind of dying down a little bit, isn't it? I mean, they still have the audience out there for okay. Because that doesn't seem as omnipresent as it was before.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's because it's old hat now. You know, it'll never, like, kind of one of the things that's funny about music or interesting about music, once it hits, it never goes away again. Like, it goes in and out of popularity, but it's always present, you know.
Right.
Not never, but for long periods of time, you know. I don't think hurdy-gurdy is a popular instrument anymore. Or
polka.
But it's still out there. There's still dudes touring as the world's famous polka band.
Might come back. Polka punk. You never know.
Polka punk. Polka rap. That's where it's
rap.
At, dude.
There you go.
Boom. Polka rap all up in your
something.
Grill.
Yeah. We just need somebody to do it.
Not
maybe
me.
Not. Maybe not.
Not me.
Yeah. Some ideas should never go any further than just
exactly
being talked about.
Here's
once.
An idea. Let's play some music.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
Ah! You freaking idiot!
Thank you. I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
All right. That was our friend's Dirty Fuse from the 2011 Lost Riders CD. Well, that's kind of an EP, I guess. Played Lost Riders, Look Around, and VU. So
VU.
VU.
Now, we had a conversation once about surf. Mm-hmm. I thought that surf music was the Beach Boys, and you schooled me on it. I said, no, not really. They're part of the... They might have been part of the scene, but surf music is generally considered instrumental, like the...
Purists would say
Duane
that.
Duane Eddy or people like that. Yeah. Or not Duane Eddy, yeah, Duane Eddy, yeah. Or the,
I don't subscribe to that. I mean, purists will say that, but I mean, surf music, to me, was anything with that feel to it. You know, like you can, you know that feel, like your brain kind of fills up with that, like thinking of a beach, thinking of a surfer, thinking of all that, you know, pretty girls in bikinis dancing around. The purists will say, oh, if there's vocals in it, then it's not. And I'm like,
I never realized that. I always thought that, like, you know, even the fake beach, like well, not fake beach music. I mean, there was knockoff
commercially
groups.
Viable.
There was
whatever,
knockoff groups of the Beach Boys and Jan and Dean and all them that were like, yeah, they made knockoff songs. We were talking about that documentary, Bubblegum Music is Naked Truth.
Yeah, yeah.
They talked about fake surf music. There's a guy called Gary Usher who worked with the Beach Boys, but he also concocted a fake beach band, and he got the musicians, the Wrecking Crew, to play on it. And they would put stuff like that, and, you know, oh, yeah, look, here's another surf record, you know. Let's
wonder how much money
it.
He made doing that. Like, I wonder, like, because we were talking about it on a different podcast, but the one that you're talking about, what's the name of the podcast, or the documentary you listened
Bubblegum
to?
Music is the Naked Truth.
Bubblegum Music is the Naked Truth. Okay,
yes.
So, and it's about, it's kind of talking about...
Talk about prefab music of the 60s and 70s, you know, right. Partridge Family, the Archies, the Monkees, the Ohio Express. It's called bubblegum music. Somebody coined the phrase because they figured it was marketed towards kids.
No content.
Kids. Marketed towards kids.
Yeah, there's no content really, and it just is.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like light, fun, you know.
Yeah, goofball music or goofy.
You know,
just
maybe a little, you know, double entendre in there or whatever, but kids
here and there,
it.
But
kids wouldn't get it.
No, and if they
not
did,
those kids today.
Yeah, you know, with their pants and your beepers and your
and their jeans
and the murals on the side of the vans with the footprint gas pedal
and their tattoos and their Frazetta paintings on their vans.
Yeah, Frazetta. There's a guy. Is he still alive?
No, he passed away.
Hey, all you out there in listener land, Mao here. Do you ever just want to make a difference in the world? Do you ever want to give back? Make the world a better place? Sure, we all do. But how? So many choices and challenges. Well, here's a really good one you could do. Why don't you go to projectpinball.org? That's an organization that puts pinball machines in hospitals, children's hospitals. What could be better than that? Not much. It's very easy. Go to projectpinball.org, donate, sign up for some raffles. Every little bit counts. I'll make it even easier. Why don't you just look them up on Facebook? Everyone has Facebook, right? Of course they do. So you look up projectpinball.org on Facebook. Help out that way. Spread the word. Make the world a better place. I'm asking you. Takes a moment of your time. You know, I'll be like, oh, for only 33 cents a day, you could sponsor a pinball machine. I'm not going to do that, but I am going to say, go to projectpinball.org, give a little bit, make the world a better place right now. Go do it. Thank you, everyone.
Blackula meets Slaughter. Now they're together for the first time on one big show. Blackula, the Black Avenger, more horrifying than Dracula, and Slaughter. It's not only his name. Slaughter is his business. See William Marshall as Blackula, Dracula's soul brother, a living corpse seeking to quench his hideous thirst for human blood. And Jim Brown as Slaughter. He had a rifle, a belly gun, four grenades, and a theory. The best defense is to attack. Slaughter and Blackula. On one big show from American International Pictures, blood-chilling adventure meets blood-curdling terror as Slaughter meets Blackula.
That's right, baby. Can you,
Blackula!
Can you dig it? And also, Project Pinball supported. It's great. We're talking about music, and we'll get back to that documentary because that's a very cool. I want to talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
But I was at the gym the other day, and some dude, like some kid. Remember how kids used to drive away, and their car had all bass, and would just be like,
"Yeah."
Well, now the newest thing is, and this is not
treble.
And this sounds even worse. It's all treble, no bass whatsoever, and it's like. It sounds like a mariachi band on drugs. Like, and it's just like that. Like, and they use the horns from PA.
Oh, things. Man. Maybe the Tijuana Brass will come back. Herb Alpert.
Why not? And it sounds worse. Like, bass I can understand. The treble's like, oh.
Everybody goes in opposite directions. It's like, oh, we're tired of bass. Let's
and
the
guy drove by it twice, and both times I was like, wow, you're so stupid.
I'm into mid-range, man.
Yeah, I like mids, bro.
Yeah, I'm into mids. You
and
know
you know what?
Saying?
And Murder Stang told me the name of it. He's a friend of mine. And I can't... And I was like, that's the name of it? He's like, yeah, it's all treble. It's like all...
Is it a style
it's,
of
no,
music?
It's like reggae blast. Reggae...
A reggaeton?
Maybe. Reggaeton.
Reggaeton?
Yeah. That's what it's called. Okay. Like, so it's just like that... And I was like, what? So now, like, that's cool. I'm like,
that's like
oh,
Spanish kind of stuff.
That's the worst thing in the history of the world.
Well, so far. So just
wait. Just you wait, jerk.
Just you wait. Give it another year or so. They'll come up with something to annoy
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah. But it sounds so bad. I'm glad we figured out the name of it because I couldn't remember the name.
And they're playing it down the street here?
No, well, not where I live. Just some kid was, like, showing off to his girlfriend he dropped off, you know, and I was like, okay, whatever. So what back to that documentary because it sounds pretty cool. What about you just laughing about the reggaeton?
Yeah,
reggaeton.
Yeah, I've heard that music before.
Oh, have you? Okay.
Yeah.
What were they talking about? Like about it? You know.
Yeah, they were talking about how it was kind of like made up in the '60s. They were fake bands, and then like people like Don Kirshner would get some of their writers to write like songs to craft hits and they were more geared towards kids
just as all formula to, then it's just
yeah all formula but with like upbeat and nice singing and yeah. You know not like that nasty acid rock or that nasty you know
you damn kids with your harpsichords
yeah
and
punk
your...
rock or anything like that. It was like the Partridge Family or the Monkees or whatever, even though the Monkees got kind of weird towards the end.
Who was that guy in Orlando that builds all those boy bands? There's a guy.
Oh, I don't know what his name is.
Do you remember what I'm talking about? Like, there's one guy, he's famous for just building boy bands. That's all he does.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't remember his name.
And he's in Orlando. He just...
He got real popular with like Boys to Men or one of those.
Yeah, but then he just kept doing it. Like every boy band ever since Menudo, he's been in charge of. And you're like, huh.
But Bubblegum usually is more rock. That was more R&B stuff. Bubblegum was more rock, like Ohio Express, 1910 Fruit Gum Company. Like kids, it's basically to get the kids. By the time they're in junior high, they're gonna be done with this, and they want something more harder.
What kind of buying power do kids have though?
These days, back then, well, they had a lot. Back then they had a lot because the toys were the Saturday morning stuff and the toys and all that stuff. Back then they were like, nowadays, I don't know. I don't have any kids. I'm sure they have some.
If you play music on one of those damn Saturday morning cartoons, every kid wants one then probably. Or something like that. You know, like hey, look at this new album by the Banana Splits. And you're like, well, I need that now.
Well, when I was a kid, they used to have the Beatles cartoons on TV. Imagine how many records they sold. Man, they sold records to me by having being on Saturday morning back in 68 or 67.
Do you realize I met the Banana Splits? I have a picture of me hugging the Banana Splits from like the 76 or 77. They were at
was that Epcot or
No, this is in Pennsylynia.
You're talking about the 70s Banana Splits.
Yeah. This Banana Splits, those furry.
Before some of them OD'd or just
is that
kidding.
True? Probably. No. Behind no, the music when no. the bananas really
no, no,
split.
I'm just kidding. No.
That'd be so funny when the bananas really split. Behind the music with the bananas.
Yeah, they were smoking banana peels.
licking frogs, smoking banana peels. Anarchist cookbook. You're so stupid.
Who are you?
I'm Laura, your new neighbor. You alright?
She's beautiful. Say something clever. I fell on my bottom. No!
Maybe we'll move to New York City. And then we'll celebrate goodbye. Find a place that we can start a fight. I feel good to be alive. And so we'll drive across the country on this endless holiday. You take the shortcut.
Understand errands. If you could feel your legs falling out, then you might find the strength to stand your ground. Then you'd be close to them, then you'd be close to God. But you know you're not. If you could make a fist you could punch, if you could fly your faith you could jump. Born insecurity, fear of most everything, in anyone you can be. We could have been gone, Christina. We could have been sane. It isn't just death, drugs, or lost love. These others leave stains. So just let the freaks of failure sing obvious songs. The B-side is real and it plays on. Hey Christina, are you sleeping in? I'm leaving you another long message in a state 10. I lost my voice again. This game is fixed. Seems like I've been 86. But your life is 1001 in analog faith. But even if you lay witness, too little too late. 'Cause your life is like a B-side. The B-side song, the B-side song, the B-side song.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
All right, that was Joey Cape from the CD Bridge. I played for you Errands and B-Side. We might come back after break with The Ramones Are Dead.
Is that a song on that record?
Yep. The Ramones Are Dead, I've heard. Most of them, anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. I saw them in 78, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the originals are. Yeah, that's kind of weird. That's very weird, actually. You
start
know?
To think about people that you've met and they've died off. And you're like,
those are people who die. Remember that song? You ever hear that song by Jim Carroll? Oh man, you got to listen to it. That's a great song. It was actually a hit, somewhat in the early '80s, kind of punk song.
Really?
Yeah. Well, listen to it later.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to because now I'm like, because the people that died.
Johnny was a friend of mine, and he died.
Oh no! Well, here's the break.
I can listen to the records from my younger years, pacify my bitter ears, and revive the dead dinosaurs. Me and Jamo rode two buses out to Rock Pile. Should I find a rarity and something to believe? But I can listen to them now without mourning that small town and the mom and pops I loved. Once a missionary man, I age into obscurity with them. The Ramones are dead. You could judge a band by the cover, flipping through the bands. Should enough to take a spin. Odd lyrics big enough to see and read. Pull the record from its sleeve, spear the cut hole, arm at speed, plunge a needle, shaking like
somehow reanimated sacred cow, but it all seems different now. It's far too easy to get anything in demand. I'll say it once again, the Ramones are dead.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I could make a hat, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl.
All right, and that was, like I said before, that's Joey Cape with The Ramones Are Dead. And, of course, when we had to pause the show to listen to all the people that died.
Oh, yeah, Jim Carroll, yeah.
Very interesting. I'd heard that before.
He's one of the people who died, too. So.
Was he from the Dead Milkmen?
No, he was a poet, New York poet that hit big with, but yeah.
So, you know what I did? I watched an interview with Henry Rollins.
What does he look like these days?
He's good. He's he's an intense guy, but he's actually very...
he's funny.
He's much more sensible than people would give him credit for. And he was talking about, like, because they said, about your tattoos and what it was like. And he told the story about how he got into Black Flag and why he got into Black Flag. And he even said, you know, I don't regret my tattoos, but they're just Reagan-era tattoos. He said they're old and faded because I'm an old man. And he talked about how he just never stopped working because he was so tenacious and so, like...
Yeah, he had the drive.
He said it wasn't... He said, I always assumed I'd... He said, I started out life and I was the manager to a Haagen-Dazs or some ice cream shop. And he said, and I knew if I wanted to survive in this America, I had to just keep fighting like hell and keep working at it. And he said, I said yes to everything that ever came my way because I knew I was one step away from going back to working at the ice cream shop. And
it's true. It's true for him. You know, it's not true for everybody, but it's true for him.
Yeah. He worked like hell.
I think he came from a military background. Like his dad was military and he rebelled against it or whatever.
Yeah.
He's only on one Black Flag record, right? Or is he on a couple?
He's on a couple, but yeah, not
very early.
He
on,
went out. Yeah.
He was gone.
That wasn't his gig.
Cause I'm a liar.
Oh yeah! Wow, that guy.
You remember that song?
Oh yeah,
that was another classic video from the day.
Beavis and Butthead did that when he was like, yeah. They were like, I lie too. We should hang out together. So funny. I actually have quite a bit of respect for him, to be honest with you, and just because everything I've ever heard him, when I hear him speak, when I hear him see him on TV, he has a TV show that talks about, what built America or like myths and truths about America, stuff like that. He's very intelligent. And you hear Black Flag singer. He's probably going to just be some lunatic and drugged out and everything like that. And he just wasn't.
He was an intelligent guy. I don't agree with half of what he says, but he makes sense.
Yeah.
He's there's people that are really good communicators.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good communicator.
See, like Jello Biafra? Not Jello Biafra.
Jello Biafra.
What's his name? Jello?
Yeah, Jello Biafra. Yeah.
When you listen to him talk, I dislike the Kennedys a little bit more because I love that music and I love that band. But when you hear him talk, you're like, oh my, you're one of those. I couldn't sit in a room with that guy because it's one of those everything's against everyone all the time, and you're like, look, no, it's not. This little marble just keeps spinning, and then we die. Like, it's not everyone in the world is not trying to keep the man isn't trying to keep you down at all times, you know. I don't know. It's
he's
a little out there. I mean,
everybody's got their own, you know, reality. Wow, man, reality, man. Everybody's got their own, like, reality, man, you know, and that's his reality, and then that's Rollins' reality, and you know what I mean, man? You know, everybody's got their own life. Everybody's got something to hide except for me and my monkey. That's all I got to say.
Nice.
That's from the White Album.
And here's some music. Not from the White Album, because they won't let us play it.
Damn it!
このポッドキャストを聞いて、あなたは普段より数倍賢くなるでしょう。 このポッドキャストを聞くとあなたは脳が退化します。
All right, that was Midnight Smoking Drive with Triple S and See You. I met them in Korea. Very cool band. Sadly, I don't think they lasted very long, and now...
Is that their only
as far as I know.
That happens a lot.
Yeah, it does happen a lot. Oftentimes, I'll meet a band or I see a band, and I really dig them, and I dig their sound, and then they just go away, and you're like, well, how did that not work for you? But it just doesn't. I guess bands are very volatile.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You know, you're talking before the last segment about Rollins' point of view and this guy. If there's any truth, it's different for everybody.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, and sometimes people dig you. Sometimes you start drinking your own Kool-Aid, and then who knows? Fun. All right, so music tidbits, man. What else we got going on? You're a wealth of musical knowledge, I don't know.
Well, we were talking about the bubblegum music and stuff like that. I got to get you the copy of it so you can watch it.
That's weird that it's hard to find.
There's the other one. I think the other one called The Wrecking Crew is just coming out. These things were put on YouTube and places like that because they were looking for funding. I think it was a Kickstarter never fully... came through, and I think the Wrecking Crew, which is about the musicians who played on all the California music in the 60s and early 70s, I think that one's finally coming out. Cool. That's another great documentary.
Oh, yeah, that's probably going to be fun.
Oh, see, man.
You know what? I have a Valentine's credit coming, and I don't know if I should get... There's an Aussie box set of vinyl, or if I should get that, or if I should get the... there's also the soundtrack. It's a picture disc from Black Dynamite. I don't know which one to get. I'm going to hold each one in my hand, and I don't know which one I'm coming home with. I'm going to be like, oh my
God. Maybe the Partridge Family box set. No.
I have a lot of Aussie stuff. I actually really like Ozzy Osbourne.
I only like him in Black Sabbath.
He was great in Sabbath.
I don't like him on his own. I think it's fine, but I don't like him on his own because I think the riffs is what makes that band. And I think the riffs on his records aren't as good. I mean, there's some good ones. But
because it was Randy Rhoads.
Tony Iommi is like the king.
Oh, yeah, dude.
He's one of the riff masters.
There's one of those odd... There's this odd thing that they do on Ultimate Guitar, the UG. They're having like this... The best guitarist, it's almost like a... You know how they do the brackets in basketball or whatever? It's like that. And it's like pairing up people against each other. Like,
you can't do that.
Hendrix and Dimebag.
They're all
different. And that's what it's getting down to. Brian May against... whoever, whatever.
Jeff Beck.
Yeah, stuff like that. And sometimes you're like, oh, man, how'd that person win? Brian stupid. May beat out Jimmy Page.
That's stupid.
And then somebody beat... Frusciante beat out Roger Waters. Or no, not was it Roger
David
Waters.
David Gilmour. See, that angers me.
And I was like, what? Like, everyone knows it's going to be Hendrix at the end. Unless Dimebag Darrell... gets like a legion of fans going, and they're like, he's the best, and then that'll be the end of that, but it's just kind of like, I don't know. I agree with you. Like, I hate those things, kind of. It makes you think about...
Because they all play the same... Yeah. They play the same style. Well, they play in the rock genre, but they all have different styles.
Yeah, and that's... I like it in one sense that I kind of learn more about each person, because I'll actually look at them and think about them and be like, oh, yeah, why did they like them? Why do I like them? Iommi was one of them. That's what made me think of this whole thing. But he got dusted out, and I'm like, he's pretty good, man.
He came up with all the riffs.
He was a bad man.
Because
he was even through Dio, through Ozzy. Through
Solo.
Yeah, everything. He's really good.
It's all subjective, and it's all like age group oriented also. Yeah. If it's younger people, they'll go for like Dimebag or whatever. If you're talking metal, it's probably going to be Iommi. They invented metal, kind of, sort of.
They did, yeah. Yeah. Well, you can't say definitively, but they made it what it is. They've shaped every band ever,
Yeah.
Do you, now, I always think that this is steamrolling towards Hendrix wins. Do you think he's the greatest ever, guitarist-wise?
I don't know.
I like his stuff, and don't get me wrong, I would never bash him. I think I like his music, I dig his guitar.
I'd say he's right there at the peak of, but there's a lot of guys that I like.
There's a lot of good people.
There's a lot of good people that might not play, that might have, I'm more of a song guy, and the music shapes the song, you know. I mean,
if
it's just a great riff and the song is like, you know, da 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 do 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 or whatever, you know, then I don't care anymore. So, you know, I kind of like the guys that actually played and actually wrote good songs, like the Jimmy Pages and the Becks and the Claptons and stuff like that. Yeah. They actually had cool songs to go
along
with.
There's a lot of
really
good songs.
Hendrix had a lot of great songs, so I got to put them right up there, you know. Yeah. But as far as like taking the electric guitar and changing it for everybody, he might be the guy. You
see,
because
I like Pink Floyd a lot.
But I love Gilmore.
But I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't compare them.
No, he didn't. He did wonderful things. Like, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I love them, but I don't even think of guitar when I think of Pink Floyd. I just think of like their music, their shtick, their thing,
But to me, it's like Gilmore. His guitar solos fit so well into the songs that that's part of the
they're
song.
They're crafted around it.
Whereas somebody like Hendrix, even though maybe Beck, it's all solo, man. The song is great, but the solo.
The band can go off and have a cigarette and do a couple shots because he's going to be there for
like
a while.
He's like doing all this incredible stuff. So that's why I can't compare them. They're all different. different guys. I guess if you want to say the greatest, maybe it's Les Paul. Didn't he create the electric guitar?
He sure did a hell of a lot
of great
stuff.
Okay, well, Les Paul then.
Him and Les Paul and Mary Ford, you know.
Yeah, he invented it, you know. So there you go.
I don't know if it's quite that simple. I don't know. Here, let's go to our last music break. We'll be right back.
Boring.
Dad, we can't see the movie.
I can't believe we're paying to see something we get on TV for free. If you ask me, everybody in this theater is a giant sucker. Especially you!
With the chatter of teeth and her forehead, and it bruised my chest. Yeah, we slept by the fire. We were barefoot on the sand, thinking we're heading for the horizon. We're heading for the horizon. Cross line in the blink of an eye. In our hope, and it sank to a bottomless pit.
All right, that was The Primary. Beneath the Tide is the name of the CD, and Horizon is the name of the song. While we were playing that song, we also went on to Ultimate Guitar. What do you think about that bracketing?
That's some weird bracketing. Brian May beats out Jimmy Page. I think they're both great, but
yeah.
Jimmy Page, I mean, there's like a bigger body of work of greatness.
And then like who beat out Jack White was beat out by...
Oh, God, I don't even
there was a lot in there that you were like, huh? Eddie Van Halen got beat up by Fashanti. No, not Fashanti.
Oh,
it was,
I can't remember. You mentioned some guy, Paul Gilbert. I don't even know who he is.
And you're like, wait, what?
It's those new kids again with their new music.
Beepers in your baggy pants and your reggaeton? And your rigatoni?
Yeah, and your rigatoni.
Your reggaeton?
Your rigatoni, that delicious meal. And Jeff Beck got beat out. Jeff Beck's one of, like, right up there with Hendrix to a lot of people, to me too.
Oh, yeah. Well, how can you argue?
I mean, yeah, you can't argue with hardly any of these people, so there's no point in doing it. It's a pointless list. And, you know, whatever to everybody.
What is it called? Click garbage. You know, make sure everyone clicks
on it. Yeah, I guess, you know.
If you can stir up controversy, then people go to your site. I think that's a theory. That's why they do these things, because it creates, like, controversy and people get angry and people write them and you're like, oh,
well,
my God.
I remember one time VH1 had this documentary, 8-part or whatever it's called, The History of Rock. And so they're going to go to the beginning. So they start with all the bands. They start with the Stones and the Who and all that. And they don't mention the Beatles, so I guess the Beatles aren't a rock band.
How can you even do that? Not the Beatles thing.
They wouldn't even mention it.
But I mean, how could you take on such a huge task of, like...
Because, you know, people do that a lot.
All of rock, you're like, that's
like
not going to be...
But it was like Beatles, so the Beatles are not a rock band, they're a pop band. So the Beatles are in the same realm as, like, the Shondells or the Beach Boys or whatever. They're rock bands. They played rock and roll music. I mean, that's a very odd. So that's why I watch these things like a train wreck, but I don't pay attention to them because, you know.
Most people watch VH1 because it's a train wreck.
I don't watch it anymore because they're not playing the new metal shows anymore. So.
Oh, there's not even music anymore.
They play like a lot of Animal House, like edited, or, you know, John Hughes movies. Everything's edited, so what's the point? And watching some
point is
like, diluted off. POS, you know?
All right, that looks like that's going to be it for this week. Thanks for listening. This is the Radio St. Pete Indie Show. My name is Mao, with me.
Dr. Morbius.
As always, and we will see you next week. Hopefully, Dr. Morbius, we can pry you out of your crypt for another wonderful show. If not, we'll be here for you.